Welcome back, Petersburg parishioners. I'm Julia Monin, pastoral associate here at the region, and you are listening to Listening In, the podcast that I record monthly, where I sit down with pastors or parishioners or honestly whoever I can talk into doing this with me. And today, I have two very special guests with me. That's right. I talked both of my parents into doing with this meet, and they're super excited, aren't you, Mom and Dad?
Absolutely. Yes, we are. Absolutely.
So my dad, who has a very outgoing personality, like me, I am definitely my father's daughter. He was quick to jump on it. My mom, who has a very introverted personality, much more like, well, Father Pat, he didn't want to do it either, but I got him to do it. But anyway, so my mom is here with us too. And I wanted them to come on this month for a couple reasons. Well, one, because they're my parents, and obviously it's easy for me to talk to them about my spiritual life, and it's easier for us to have conversations like that. So I thought that might offer some insight. But I also wanted to bring them on because Mom and Dad, oh, and I didn't even say your names, Tim and Darla Dietz. Sorry, I just assume people know who you guys are. My parents, Tim and Darla Dietz. But they are very active in the Shunstadt movement in our parishes, and they are leaders. And I wanted to bring them on today to kind of talk a little bit about your journeys of faith, but more specifically, perhaps, your journeys in Shunstadt. So we're just going to go ahead and get started, kind of leading into that. Shunstadt, for those who are unfamiliar with it, is kind of a difficult thing to explain.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. even I found that sometimes people can go through the formation.
And it can be tricky to say, too.
Right. Yeah. By the way, Shunstadt, yeah. Or I've heard it pronounced Schottenstein.
Schottenstein is popular.
But Shunstadt is a German word for beautiful place, beautiful place. But anyway, it is hard to pronounce. It's difficult to understand, and that does kind of turn some people away. But maybe you guys can offer some insight about how you got into the Shunstadt movement. And Mom, maybe I should turn that over to you first because you were the one that kind of started it with our family. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your journey with our Blessed Mother.
Well, for me, it started probably 15, 16 years ago. I was raised Catholic and was cradle Catholic, but. And always went to church and did the right things, but never really had a true relationship with Jesus or his mother. Through a friend, when I was having kind of a tough time in our lives, she invited me to join her classes that she was having. And of course, when she said Shunstadt, I thought, what in the world is this? And I thought I had my faith formation because of going through all my CCD classes and being married in the church and baptized in the church. So I felt that I did have my formation. So when she offered this to me, it was very strange to me, but I thought she told me that you could receive gifts and graces. And at that time in my life, I was really struggling and I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. Now, I don't know if that's the real reason that you should do something is to receive gifts and graces, but that is how it worked for me. So I started going to the classes, and when I started going to the classes, my whole Catholic faith just kind of opened up, and I started to understand more and learn more, and I actually had a very big conversion through this process, and everything that I was going through at that time became joyful. Even through the difficult times, I was receiving this joy that only God can give. So that's kind of how I got started in it. I made my covenant of love, and then Tim decided that this was something that he wanted to do. So I'll turn it over to Tim now.
Okay. Well, I was, I was kind of a tag-along. Mm-hmm. Also the name of a cookie, by the way, tag-along. So, but that doesn't have anything to do with this conversation. But anyhow, yeah, I have really kind of seen the changes that it was making on Darla. And to be realistic about it was something that I really needed to do and felt like I needed to do in my life, too. Because, we always feel, at least there are times when we feel like we need to change things in our lives. And if we want to become better people, then we can see what's being done, the transformation that Darla was going through, and I knew I needed that, and that's basically what I wanted to try to accomplish the same things that she was doing, and it was really, it was an eye-opener for me, I guess, to say the least.
So, covenant of love was a term that Mom used when she was describing her journey, and that's kind of the culmination of the Schoenstatt classes. The formation is you end, you go through like this 10 classes of formation, and then you end by making your covenant of love, which is it's a very informal ceremony, mm-hmm. where we, it's informal in the ceremony, but it's very formal in what happens. So the covenant of love is where we give our hearts to the Blessed Mother. We say, dear Mother, here, take our broken, damaged, sinful hearts, and we invite the Blessed Mother to come into our lives and to give us her heart. So that's what we mean by the covenant of love. So similar perhaps maybe to a Marian consecration, if you've heard of that, but even a little bit deeper than that. It's because it's a giving of one another, a giving of each other. So Mom, you made your covenant in what year?
You know,
2003, I think.
Yeah, I believe it was 2003.
So 2003, to shed you, and Dad, you made yours in
2004. January of 2004, yeah.
So to give you a little background, I graduated high school in 2002. So you can imagine that I knew very little about what this all was happening in Mom and Dad's life, and I cared very little about what all of this was. My late high school years, early college years, was Mom was sharing that was a difficult time for her, but I was going through a difficult thing too as well, completely unrelated to what Mom was going through. But it's interesting that that's the time that the Blessed Mother entered into our family. And we were practicing Catholics. I mean, we kind of talk when we share our stories. I think the three of us kind of talk like we kind of make it sound like we were terrible people, but we weren't terrible people. We were doing all of the right things. Yep. But Mom puts it really beautifully. God was in our heads, but he was far from our hearts. And that pretty much sums up what I felt. It wasn't until after I entered Schoenstatt and after I began having my own conversion experience that you realize there's a real difference between knowing about God and going to church every week and knowing God and going to church because you just are so in love with him and you just want to be united with him. And Schoenstatt has brought that love and that conversion to our whole family. And it started with Mom. It started with her. And I remember what drew me to Schoenstatt. Well, I mean, my life was a mess and I was grasping at straws. I would have taken any help if somebody said that. But really, I was drawn to it because I saw the changes in my mom. I saw my mom going from this worrisome person to this woman of joy, to where the problems were still there, and yet she was handling them completely different. And I had to attribute that to Schoenstatt because there was nothing else we were doing differently in our families.
True.
And I wanted that. I wanted that for myself. I wanted that for my marriage. And so Tony and I were married in 2007. And 3 years later, in 2010, actually on our wedding anniversary, we made our covenant of love together. So we entered into the movement together as a couple. And I can't begin to tell you the gifts and graces and blessings that that's bestowed upon us as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let's talk about some of those gifts, those graces, and those blessings that come from Schoenstatt. Dad, I'm going to ask you first.
Okay.
What is one of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest graces that you've received since being involved or since really having your heart turned to Christ?
I think the peace that the Blessed Mother brings, and I think that's one of the things that she talks about bringing to us, is that, number one, while she'll use us as instruments, but she will also grant us the peace that we need to be able to maybe not always understand what God has chosen for us in our lives, but being able to accept that and go on with our lives and to be able to just basically keep going through. Schoenstatt is a way of life, and that's one of the things that it promotes, that it is a way of life, and it truly is. And I think the more that we get to know and understand Jesus and how his love really does act and play a part in our lives and in our hearts, it changes, for me it did, it changes how that outlook on everything that happens. Like I say, we don't always understand how it does happen and why it happened that way, but it gives you a sense of peace about knowing that it was God's will for that to take place the way that it did. And that has been a big change for me. And like I say, it's when you say it's a way of life, it is. If we go about our lives each day and we're learning and we're watching and we're listening, because, you know, Jesus tells us in the Bible also that, you know, those that have eyes need to see, those that have ears need to listen, and we do. And being open and watching and learning, and it's fun to watch other people grow in the same way. You know, those that have been involved with Shane Stott, and they talk about how the changes have taken place in their lives, the transformation, that's another grace that she talks about giving us, is inner transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And apostolic zeal is another one of those. So you get all that stuff going at one time. You know, you have that inner transformation, and then you feel that love that Jesus has, and then you want to share that with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole thing just starts rolling and flowing in a process that, you know, you can't plan that. You can't lay that out. You can't really see that in the future, but it just unfolds, and that's the beauty of it for me.
So peace and just this look on life that's just different, isn't it? It's
mm-hmm.
like looking through the world in a whole different lens.
Mm-hmm.
Life all of a sudden has meaning beyond what you can put into words. And we're kind of struggling to put this into words, but that's what it is. It's like life is just different.
Yeah.
It's just different. So Dad mentioned two of the graces that are associated with the Shunstop movement. There's three. There's three graces that are associated with the Shunstop movement. One, the grace of being at home. So in this world here on earth that is not our home, one of the promises of Mary through the Shunstop, through the covenant of love, is that she bestows upon you the grace of being at home. Of being at home and of being at home, not just in your home, but that's a huge part of the Shunstop movement, is something called the home shrine, where you can actually dedicate a place in your home where Mary can be actively present in your home. Well, that's a conversation for another day. But that's the first grace, the grace of being at home. The second grace associated with the Shunstop movement is the grace of apostolic zeal, which is what Dad mentioned. So this desire to want to go out and share the good news, which is something that we're all called to do by virtue of our baptism. We're baptized as priests, prophets, and kings. It's all of our responsibility to go out and share the good news, but it's hard to do that. And one of the graces of Shunstott is that we have that grace to go out and to share the good news. We have this grace of apostolic zeal. In fact, sometimes for me, it's like holding in a sneeze. Like if I don't get the opportunity to share what's in my heart, it's like almost painful to me not to share it. The third grace then associated with this movement that Dad mentioned, what is this grace of inner transformation, which is so beautiful and so beyond words, and which has been the biggest, the biggest wonder of this moment of Shunstop for me, because you cannot describe it. So here we have ourselves who are so broken and so full of sin and so dark, and then something happens inside us where this light just starts to shine again, and where we become truly ourselves. And that's that grace of inner transformation. And it doesn't just happen for like mom. So mom made her covenant first. And of course, this is all happening to her, but these graces were also being bestowed upon your whole family.
Absolutely. And I think that's where Shunstott, and the, like your question was, what was one of the biggest
graces?
And I'd have to say for me, the inner transformation was the biggest grace, because I not only saw it in myself, and as Julia said, I was always a very high anxiety person, worried about everything with the children, worried about this and worried about that. So after I joined the Shunstop movement, I did receive this inner transformation, and I did receive this peace that Tim talked about. And I also received, they talk a lot about divine providence and how, you know, God has everything figured out in your life. So I got this deep belief in the divine providence. So that took away all of a lot of my anxiety, because I know that God has it planned, no matter if I'm going to sit and worry about it or not, that He has it planned. So I was able to release and had the grace given to me to get rid of some of this anxiety that I carried. But to watch my children, to watch my husband change, and to watch it just in time, all of my children come to receive this inner transformation, was just beautiful. And it was something that I can only contribute to the Blessed Mother and Jesus and the grace that they have given us. And a little bit about, again, that covenant of love is so important. It's a lot like a consecration, but it's a deeper way to go to get to Christ. I've done a lot of consecrations before too, and they're beautiful, but a covenant of love is giving yourself to the Blessed Mother and her giving back to you. So it's like a bond, like a marriage. So it's when we have couples come into the movement is what really excites me the most, because there's that opportunity to just transform your whole family.
I know often you say, I'm the middle of five. So I was a freshman in college, senior in high school. Let's see, my younger sister would have been a junior then in high school, and my younger brother would have been, what would that have made him, junior high? Roughly junior high-ish age. So I know one of the things that Mom always says, one of the biggest, and it's not a regret, but perhaps just one of the biggest, hindsight is always 20/20. We can look back at our lives and say, I would have done this different. And that's one of the things she always says is that I wish I would have had this when my kids were young. Mm-hmm. Because you would have had a more peaceful time raising your children,
yes.
You know, that you had this relationship with mm-hmm. our Lord and with the Blessed mm-hmm. Mother, and it just could have been a more enjoyable, faithful,
yes.
grace-filled time for
Absolutely.
Everybody.
Less anxiety, that's for sure.
but I, when we go back and we talk about, Shane's not being a way of life, and when you live out that gospel that God has mm-hmm. asked us to live by and to walk in His footsteps, it seems so much clearer when you see that through the eyes of the Blessed Mother, mm-hmm. and then by setting that example, we're being able to walk in those, in his footsteps a little bit, somewhat, that's, I think, the beauty of being able to help others maybe see that, mm-hmm. They always say that there's a fifth gospel, and that fifth gospel is always us as an individual, how do we live our lives, and how do we show people that we live our lives, so, mm-hmm. We're there to be examples for other people, and we're there to help each other get to heaven, and mm-hmm. this is a beautiful way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and she is the surest, fastest, and quickest way to get to our Lord is through our Blessed Mother.
To Jesus through Mary.
Yes.
And the thing that, there's a lot of people who maybe hesitate to have a devotion to the Blessed Mother, but you cannot fall in love with the Blessed Mother and not fall in love with her Son. It is impossible. Mm-hmm. And if you are somehow bypassing the Son, then something is not quite right about your devotion to the Blessed Mother. And that's been one of the biggest perhaps surprises to me with this journey, is just how much I have fallen in love with her Son. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Blessed Mother mm-hmm. does. And what mom wouldn't do that? Like, what mom wouldn't talk up her boy just make you want to fall in love with him? And that's just what the Blessed Mother does. So, okay, well, before we go any further, we try to keep these around 20 minutes, and you can see my time here. We're already kind of at 18 minutes. So the time goes really, really fast. So if anything that we've said tonight has intrigued you, or you are interested in learning more about Schoenstatt, then I want to invite you to a very, I want to invite you to the classes that we're having this year. The classes will begin on Tuesday, January 31st. They will start at 6:30 p.m. and be held at Immaculate Conception in the basement. And they're every Tuesday for 10 mm-hmm. weeks. Mm-hmm. And we will make our covenant of love on April 18th, I believe, is mm-hmm. that Tuesday that we would make our covenant of love. So I just invite you to pray about that, to think about if the Blessed Mother might be calling you to this movement, to this covenant of love, might be asking you to open up your heart to her. To go deeper, right? As Mom would say there, maybe you didn't hear her, to just dive in a little bit deeper. And you don't have to already know, we were all at places where we weren't where we are now when we started. You just, all it takes is an open heart.
Right.
All it takes is you being open to the idea of the Spirit going to work at your life. So anyway, again, I invite you to those classes. I invite you to reach out to either myself or to Mom or Dad if you just have questions between now and then. But all are welcome to attend. And again, those classes start on Tuesday, January 31st, and they will be held every Tuesday for 10 weeks. And they're about two hours long, from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. So, Dad,
Absolutely.
I ask you to go ahead and close us with a prayer.
I will do that. Heavenly Father, You have blessed us in so many ways. You sent your only son to us to help us understand your ways better. He being the greatest teacher that we will ever know on this earth, and us for us to follow in his footsteps. We pray that we'll continue to grow in our spirits and in our love for him through the Blessed Mother and all that she does for us to help us and to guide us, that we all at some point will be joined with you in heaven. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. From all of us to all of you, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.